Greetings, fellow hobbits and humans. I am Gandalf the Grey, and I'm here to remind you it's cold and flu season again. And while we are out on our journeys, we may be felled by an indelicate disposition known by many names. Number twos are one of two movements that we all must take. And we needn't be afraid, as long as there's Immordordium, the first wizard-approved anti-diuretic. Fast-acting Immordordium sends the runny dumps back to the shadows. So then all you have to do is decide what to do with the time that is given you. Immordordium. You shall not pass!
This
been
is
a minute.
Right. This is actually episode 9 now, Darren, because last week, episode 9 decided to, like, fuck us.
Dude, Zencaster took a big steamer on our podcast.
Yes. So,
and the wounds are still healing. I mean, I feel like we're still stitching up a little bit.
So for those of us who were fortunate enough to have us listening to this podcast, you might have missed last week because we tried to do an interview with my cousin PJ Montgomery, but the whole system started to unsync over a period of 30 minutes. So it wasn't until I actually parsed through that interview a month later did I realize it was completely lost. So. Yeah.
PJ, we're just sort of figuring this Zencaster thing out, and we totally got pooched. We need to get you back in the virtual studio if we can.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man. It totally like just pissed me off. It was like the show was good, the opening was good, and everything. Just I could not parse the interview. So I don't know. We're missing the ghost episode, so that's missing.
Probably our strongest episode. I got to say, talking about indie comics totally got me reading new comics on my phone because that's the only way I can really pull it off. You know, like you wake up in the morning, get about 10 minutes to go take a dump before everything just sort of starts.
Yeah,
that's my comic book reading time. And it's been great. I've been reading like a whole bunch of like old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle whole like graphic novels or omnibus.
Oh, like the Eastman and Laird stuff?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's on the Comixology or something. It's Comixology.
Yeah, Comixology.
Yeah, Comixology. That one. Yeah. An Amazon company. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's great. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have PJ back and talk again, but we do need to fit. I don't think it's actually Zencaster. I think the problem was the internet. I think the problem where I was, the internet was fluctuating in and out, or it could have been PJ's internet was fluctuating in and out. Anyways, something to worry about in the technical growth of this show.
Tonight, we're going to talk about it ad nauseum tonight for the rest of the program. We're going to talk about the episode that didn't happen. So
let's talk about the
sit tight. This is going to be pretty good.
Let's talk about the episode that is happening tonight. We're going to be improving the way that we talk.
Yes. All we need to do is listen to this podcast one time, and then we're good. Like we'll send you a seal of certificate.
So we'll be coming with some things that we think we should stop saying, and then some things that we probably should start saying more of or increasing.
Yeah, just words to retire or phrases, and then some other ones that we'd like to incorporate more into our daily language.
Right, and I think that will just help everyone in general. So that's tonight's real episode 9.
That's the real episode 9. That's the episode that you deserve, America.
That's true. Yes. So before we do it, should we get to the news that is important?
Should we do some news?
Let's do the news.
All right.
Sure. The news that is important to us tonight. First story. This is the bold Robocar. Roaming Las Vegas without a human. I think this is Wired Magazine. These are the first reports of a robocar that is driving without somebody in the front at all. So it's just the car without a steering wheel, taking people. And everyone is flat terrified, but the results look like they're pretty good. So
the results are in. The robots didn't kill us with the first car. No robot's going to kill the first one. I mean, although I think the robots have killed a few pedestrians so far.
I think last year was the first one, as far as I understand.
The robots got one last year. Yeah.
Right. But it's probably an exponential curve. They'll kill two this year. Yeah. And then
you won't notice it. And then four the next year. It was so easy, human. you had ample time to prepare.
Right. 30 years in, they're like slaughtering 16,000 humans.
Did you not think of it when we took away your steering wheel?
Next story of the night. Motorola's Razr is returning as a 1,500 folding smartphone.
I swear to God, I feel like I spent $1,500 on it when I had it back in the day because it was so fucking expensive compared to how much money I had.
That was like the cool phone, right? I think I could totally
see the Razr. Yeah.
Yeah. The Razr.
Yeah. You snick that thing open like you were fucking what's his nuts in the Matrix, Neo.
I think it's more of you look like Captain Kirk flipping it over. I think that's the real reason.
You're right. That's exactly what it is. It's totally a tricorder. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the next story of the night. This comes from The Economist, of all places. What happened to M. Night Shyamalan? The filmmaker was once tipped as the next Spielberg. Glass, his latest film, shows why his stock has fallen.
God, I just hate this guy. God, man, Shyamalan cannot get any fucking love. Like, I don't know. The guy makes like B movies, right? I mean, like, they're great B movies. Why do people?
I think the problem is that they labeled him as Spielberg. The whole press like got behind. They're like, what the fuck? Why did we get this wrong? And the poor guy has to suffer. It really is frustrating.
I know. He's just getting him and like Louis C.K., right? No, actually, they're not really the same kind of, it's not the same kind of party, but just like all the people who 10 years ago we couldn't get enough of, like, I guess Zuckerberg's the third guy, right? It's like Louis C.K., M. Night Shyamalan, and then it's going to be Zuckerberg.
Except Zuckerberg owns everything. So
he does.
I mean, there's no
he owns an Amazon company. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Not yet, I guess.
The last bit of fluff for tonight. Darren, I got to do some time in VR this week. Yeah,
okay. So like new VR, huh?
So, well, not new VR. I actually was playing playing experiences that are a couple years old at this point, but I was really trying to study experiences, trying to understand what it's like to be in there and like what is – and there's a few things that I thought were really, really cool. First of all, I was on the HTC Vive and the Valve's Steam's loading room. So it's kind of like you're standing out in this like – big area and you can teleport in and outside of this thing, but then all of your menus can pop up so you can choose what games you want or you can swipe little beach balls or do different things. It's basically the place that you hang out while you're waiting for other stuff to load. And I thought it was actually really pleasant to just hang out there.
Really?
And it made me first think, oh my God, we are going to like work in our offices. That is like, I'm going to just go to a meadow, which is going to be my closet, right?
Right. Your screensaver, you'll actually just step out into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I spent some time in by this company called Weaver. It was something called The Blue, and it's underwater. And it was, you're basically experiencing, you know, giant sea turtles and whales. It's all CG. And you're standing in this. And the thing that I thought was really interesting is like they strategically place you in sort of corners at the edge of the abyss or like just around the coral so the jellyfish can come out. And
right.
So you're always feeling a little bit spooked because you never know.
When shit's coming out of the periphery.
Shit's coming out of the periphery.
You get a harpoon gun and then that's the all the experience you need. Just start just firing those things because –
fire away.
Yeah.
But I think the real takeaway that I had about this that was interesting was that it was like I bought into it. I thought it was really cool. And and the head thing.
Yeah, how was that? Because that's sort of what I think it's gonna be. Is that it's too heavy.
It's too heavy and there's a cable on your back and you can't really have range of motion. But I think if they can get that down to like, you know, like ski goggles size.
Yeah.
You're going to see some crazy. That's a few years away.
I think that's what it's all about, is that then it's about taking as much weight off of the apparatus that's on your head as possible. But I mean, yeah, also, and then taking that wire off the back of your head.
But let me ask you this. Like, if you came in one night and just, you know, your wife is on the couch and she's just got a goggle over her head.
Like, that's the part that really scares me. That's right. Seeing right. I mean, other people while they're in VR. That's the part I don't want to think about, because they're just like walking by. I mean, you could just as easily put these people in little closets. Like, in my mind, you're just like, okay, this is the new office. Scale it way down. Everybody's office is just like in a locker, and they just like load you in. Put right. thing on your face and you do work.
Yeah, I think that's not too far off, man.
I think I'm just revealing a little bit too much of like my inner psyche when I tell people that I think workers are going to get stuffed in lockers and forced to work on VR. Yeah,
but I mean, if I said to you 100 years ago, you know, we're all going to be in big buildings sitting in front of glowing boxes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, slaving.
And that's like, oh it. That's all we'll do.
Right, and that's all we'll do. And people will be like, that's crazy. Like, oh, my God.
He did a lot of work there. He moved all that stuff from the screen to the other part of the screen, and he did a lot of work.
Yeah.
He drives a car that costs as much as a house does, and that's, yeah. Yeah.
That's our first segment. We're going to be right back while we improve the way that we talk.
Yeah, I think that's, again, folks, that's all it's going to take is just listen to this one podcast. And that's it. You get the gold seal of approval. The Darren and Nye Show medallion will be on its way to, it's called a no prize. Or wait, Marvel Comics took that first. But yeah, look forward to that. You'll get something. You're going to get something.
All right, listen to
some probably herpes.
It's flooding over here. I mean, all the streets and neighborhoods are completely like these sections of Long Beach just doesn't expect to have this kind of rain.
Yeah.
And so they're digging ditches out and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sandbag and shit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like BART shut down, like Civic Center BART.
Crazy.
They couldn't run. They couldn't run a BART train through it.
Well, welcome back. This is our second segment where we're going to be improving the way that we talk.
That is right.
So, Dee, you came to me with this we were going to try to choose three things that we should stop saying to improve ourselves, and then we'll flip, and then we'll do things that we should start doing and saying on the other side.
Yeah. Right? Well, I feel like, right, it's January, so there's still a little bit of a newness to 2019, even though, you know, it's sort of sort of weird already, you know. 2019 is already a weird year. But yeah, just like, I don't know. I feel like January, people try to do stuff in January, like this, do a little word cleaning. We'll clear out some of the clutter, and we'll bring in some fresh ideas for like how we'll all talk to each other for the new year.
I'm down. I'm digging it. That's cool. So since this was your thought, your baby, do you want to start with the first things we should stop saying?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this I'm basically just a Hausfrau, and I am constantly at Target and I'm buying things. Hausfrau. I'm just a simple Hausfrau, and I'm always at Target. And so I'm at Target, and then I was just walking through the clothes because I was buying socks. That's what's going on over here, man. That's how I'm living life, living large, buying socks for my 6-year-old. And I just noticed like all of the shirts, like they all have like sort of slogans and sort of the slang. And I just thought, you know what, on fleek, it just got retired because I saw it on a t-shirt and I was like, okay, so not the millennials, but the ones after Gen Z, I think they're calling them. You guys have to take a nod from everybody else. Is that if the shirt is on, has the thing that you're saying, you have to retire the statement. and it's got to get retired.
All right.
And you, because you have to stay ahead of the advertisers. You have to stay one step ahead of them. So
we all otherwise need, you're not cool. But I think the advertisers are getting better.
They are getting way better.
So how can you outperform the advertisers then? I mean, maybe you just have to accept the
it's a game. Slogans. For them, it's a job. For you, it's a game. You know what? You're not going to win every time, but you're going to win a couple of times. You're going to get some of those words and keep them.
I gotcha.
Don't post them on memes. Don't put them on memes.
Oh yeah,
just saying.
Go viral and they'll wind up on a t-shirt. They'll
wind up on a t-shirt. Sure. So you got to play the margins. You know what I mean? You got a little gorilla, like sort of, you know, just like meet under bridges and use your new slang.
Right.
And start a tire fire just because you're under a bridge.
All right. The first thing that I'm going to stop saying, or I think should be stopped saying, this is just something that I always get frustrated with is people who say I have an epiphany.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I feel like every week I'm talking to somebody and someone comes in and goes, Nye, last night I was taking a dump and I had an epiphany, right? There's always like some quintessential, and they're going to come in and they're going to tell me, you know, all this hard work that we've been doing right now, it's all fixed. I figured it out, right? It usually is bullshit. And I kind of feel like I've become gun shy to anybody who says that they have an epiphany because I don't believe it's true.
it's so extreme. It's like, it's, you know, Eddie Izzard talked about, you know, the awesome hot dog, you know, like how it's just a fucking hot dog. I mean, you can't put that much on a hot dog. It's just a hot dog is ultimately the end of the joke. And like, this is just that. It's like, no, you just took a good dump. You had a solid floater. Like you had something that you had to stand up at the end of it to sort of then maybe snip it off or whatever. That's not an epiphany. Epiphany you might get once or twice in your life. And you usually have to like kick alcohol or stop doing heroin or some shit to like actually get to an epiphany. Yeah.
And that's the problem with ideas is like everyone thinks ideas are good.
Right.
But most of them are bad.
Yeah.
So even if you have an idea and you're like, oh my God, this is the shit, right? Chances are it's bad.
Right. Still. And if it passes the sniff test in the morning, then you just need to run it by like your close friend who's going to tell you, no, that's shit.
All right, what do you got for our next thing to stop saying?
Okay, yeah. Okay, so the next word that I want to just sort of retire, and I think both sides can like this is a political statement. Snowflake. I want the word snowflake to go away. The reason is not because I'm sensitive. I think everyone is now a snowflake. Like everybody in the fucking pool is all melted together. Like are all snowflakes. Everyone's constantly outraged. It's not just one side or the other. I think the word snowflake is just like lost its fucking meaning. If everybody's a snowflake, no one's a snowflake. And that's just my opinion, but you know,
yeah, but I mean, if you react to it, then it's like, it's effective, right?
It is. So we and that's my point is that it sounds old now. Like to call somebody a snowflake is just like, look, If you read any of the news, like everybody's offended 100% of the time. Everyone's offended and outraged. So you can't really call one side or the other a snowflake. It's not really one side or the other's word.
Yeah.
It's just the loud people. The loud people are snowflakes and we're all loud.
Why don't we just call each other like aliens or something or like – or even that has a potential of the other country. Maybe like – purple people or I don't know.
Well, is it bad hombres? That's Mexicans. Mexicans are bad hombres. I was reading that. I was just like, oh my God. Oh, where's the John Wayne version of Rooster Cogburn with his like fucking super lever action rifle to take down the bad hombres? Oh man.
Dude, my next one is shit that we should stop saying. The word tight. And its derivations. So I think the word tight is kind of like the word fresh in the 80s.
I was just gonna say fresh.
Right. So I feel like if you were in the Bronx and you were in a rap group in the early 80s, you could totally use fresh. But by 1989, you probably shouldn't be handling fresh very well. And I think tight is kind of like fresh. I think it's worn out. And so when anybody says
it's like tight or solid.
It's just, no, I don't want any tension. I don't want any definition on my shit. I want shit to be shit, and I don't want it to be tight anymore.
Yeah.
So I want tight to go away.
I appreciate that. I think you're right. Tight usually talks about like things that 16 and 17 year olds talk about for 4 or 5 years in a row, like pretty solid. I think
27, 28, 29, 30 year olds are using that shit too. Yeah. Man.
So, and they just need to retire it. I mean, it's like how we say cool, right? Everything's cool. Like our generation could probably answer the phone saying cool.
Cool.
Yeah. But like, yeah, tight is, I think it's specific. I think you have to be a youth to say tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, see, cool.
What is your next one?
My next one is the word authentic. I'm fucking sick of authentic. I think authentic is like sort of the elder statesman's legit. You know, everyone always said legit. It's like it's like a legit party. Oh, it is? It's a legitimate party? No, it's an authentic party. I think that's like when legit people grow up, they become authentic. And I want it all to go away. I want both of those things to go away because I was never a fan of legit because I was like, so you mean like a literal or like an actual, like a legitimate? It's a legitimate sandwich. Yeah. Yeah, that's a legitimate sandwich. That's a
right. Well, it's definitely sandwich. For food. I think like Italian food is often authentic.
Yeah, no, that's my other point is that authentic is like it's used to sell food. Like I just was a waiter and a bartender and shit like that forever. So I always said authentic when I was talking about the cuisine or a drink. And then when I hear people talking about like they're not being their authentic self or they're not like the message needs to be more authentic. I'm like, you mean you don't want Prego on the spaghetti? You want like real bolognese? What are we talking about?
It's true. I think it's misused. My last wrap up. For the things that we should stop doing. It's not stop doing. I like this in theory, and I think this is going to make me sound incredibly old.
Oh, we already, can you imagine? Just like we just skewed so hard in the 40s.
Yeah. I think that it's the laughing of the LOLs and the RTFLs or whatever. I would like to devise some sort of scheme that actually measures how people are laughing because I don't know if I'm funny or not of our text. And I feel like people are just responding with like ha or lol or whatever. Yeah. But I don't actually think that's funny. I think it's just become like a standard like response. So what I want
is
like
the pressure off. Those words let the pressure off.
Yeah, but I would love it if it was like, you know, I wrote some funny quip to a friend of mine or whatever, and they wrote back like 3.7.
Yeah.
Out of 5 or something, which was like,
or just make it out of 10 and take the point out. And then you've got a scale of 1 to 10. How funny was it? You just text them back your number.
Yeah. I think that might, I think I would enjoy that better because right now I'm getting nothing out of like everyone's who even uses ROTFL anymore. I don't think anybody does.
Right. And just, I think the whole idea is that no one's getting that kind of aerobic exercise from their laughter. And if you are, like, I don't know, you might be like a biohacker or something. You might be doing too much ketamine or like whatever it is. Whatever you're rolling on the floor laughing about is probably not the joke that I told you. Yeah. And just LOL is, I don't know. I had a buddy of mine, Chad Reinhardt. It was like, it was 2010. And he was just like, I texted him LOL on something and he texted me back. He was like, did you just LOL me? And he didn't talk to me for a couple of weeks after that. He was like, he was really pissed. He was like ahead of the curve on this because he saw it too. It's just like, who's laughing out loud? Who's laughing? And if we are as much as we're typing it, right? Like all the BARTs and buses and cars are just filled with these laughing, hysterical people, right? Because we all laugh out loud all the time.
I think there should be some sort of wearable. I mean, can you go talk to your friends in the neighborhood, the tech friends you have, and say,
Now we're finally onto something.
We need like a laughing meter.
Yeah,
like something that like they wearable, and if you know someone types LOL and they're not actually laughing, it kills you,
dude. Put it, exactly, it murders you. Put it in your Fitbits and your phones. Like it measures the vibration because it's always in your pocket next to your balls.
Put it up your ass.
Yeah, you have to keep your iPhone wedged in between your cheeks, and you know as much as you laugh, like the shakes. If it dislodges, that's like an 8. That's too much. I just said too much.
So I think I want to end our negativity.
Wait, hang on. I just want to throw out a bunch of crap.
I got a bunch of crap too, so go.
Yeah, okay. So fuck the words to boot. I hate to boot. Whenever people are just or it's like saying to beat the band. Some of these things are just too old to fucking say anymore. To boot doesn't make any sense. Also, mic drop. Fuck mic drop. I'm tired of that. And just maybe that's just because I'm an audio guy and just don't fucking
like stop dropping.
Yeah,
mics.
Stop dropping mics, man. That's a terrible thing to do. Even if it's a condenser mic, they're like they don't deserve that. And go to town. Like that's the epiphany. That's the epitome of like what the most you can do. It's just like I don't know. I remember watching this documentary and like George Lucas is talking about Episode 2 and how Yoda was going to have like a lightsaber and he was just going to go to town. And I was like, what do you mean? The fuck are you talking about? Yoda's going to fire up his little tiny lightsaber and then go into town and then do what?
To town?
I go to General Store and I will see if maybe I have a deep positions. Flour and water and eggs. I will make dumplings.
Yeah. And he's got a lightsaber on though the whole time. Just bullshit. One more. Till the cows come home. That again just doesn't fucking make any sense. No one knows what that is anymore. We are an IP driven like society. We hardly know how to make any shit. We definitely don't know about farming. So till the cows come home doesn't mean anything to anybody. So just stop saying it. Okay. I'm officially shut up. You I'm just gonna go back to my old man coffin and just stare at the sun until my eyes bleed.
You crazy kids. All right. So positive things that we should add to our to improve the way we talk, communicate. Wow. You got to have something positive to say, things that we should be increasing more of.
For sure.
All right. What do you got? What's your first one?
Well, I think for me, what I like is – when I screw up, I in that moment and it's really hard and I want to make an excuse or whatever, I just try to lean into it and say that it's my fault because it feels better. It feels better than when I start making an excuse, like I,
when you're fucked.
Yeah. When you're fucked and you just start spiraling out that just like long, stupid fucking story about why it is you suck. Instead of doing that, I just say, you know what? I totally fucked that up. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's just even if it's just like a my bad, which is sort of our generation's way of, you know, just truncating what is supposed to be accountability and just, oh, no, it's my bad. I did the bad thing. You know, just right. Expanding on that and not flagellate, not like beat yourself up, but just like lean into the strike zone. Take the fucking hit because like you did the wrong thing.
But do you let it? Do you try to let it go? Do you just like, hey, I just want to try to get
I'm
through
just
this?
As terrible as anybody else about like.
But, I mean, do you take that information back and then say, I'm going to try to get better, right? Or is it just like, I'm just going to allow myself
to get beat up on this? I just feel shame for a minute and then I forget about it and I just get back on my phone and I start looking for something from Gizmodo or just anybody will take the pain away.
I like it. Lean in, admit your fault. I love it. Yeah. I think my first one is I'm a big fan of the bro hug. I think the bro hug should happen more often. I think we should be hugging more people in general. I think that would solve a lot of our problems.
I do too.
If we were just like, hey, yo, man, come in. Let's just bro hug it up. I think the bro hug is something that, you know, as I get older, I move away from because I think it's like a 20-year-old something thing. But I think it's actually more important as you get older.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, and I'll just throw this in here, too. Like in high school, I was in Mexico City for a little while. And while I was there, like, I don't know, I just sort of like men hugged each other, kissed each other on the cheek. And it was not like it didn't carry the sort of just thing that it is here. And it just wasn't a big deal. I'm not saying go around in the United States and act like it's Mexico and just start kissing everybody on the cheek, but just to keep it in mind, just sort of let that just stew in your head that it's not like kissing a guy on the cheek that makes you the thing that you're just so scared of. It's all the other stuff that you'd have to do after that. It's just kissing a guy on the cheek, saying hello. It's just sort of cosmopolitan. It's not a big deal. That said, please don't just walk up to me and kiss me on the cheek. I like it if people just put their hand in my back pocket and we can walk around a little bit beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then a kiss on the cheek.
On the first date.
Not on the first date. I am not a slattern.
What do you got for your next improvement?
You know, most of everything I do, Nye, is just fucking great. And I don't really need to improve on anything. But I would say that everybody should watch that new Gillette ad.
Oh, okay.
The best a man can get. They do like a minute and a half ad, and the shit is on point. It shows like all the things that I think people like to think that we're trying to do, especially in men's behavior, you know, when they're out and about. There's just so many good beats and moments in that ad. Take the second, look at Gillette's ad. They're somebody in there is trying to make movies because it was really good. But I think the core message of it is just try to be responsible. If you're an adult, try to be an adult. If you're a kid, try to not join the pack, like, you know, the pack mentality of picking on somebody and stuff like that. Don't join the pack. Be part of the resistance on stuff like that. And, you know, try to be part of the whole problem solution thing is a little bit of a hard thing to put everything up against. Not everything has a solution.
It's a genius advertising move on their part because they're tapping into something that is currently – it's kind of like Nike tapping into what's his name?
Kaepernick.
For kneeling.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean –
There's other money out there. Yeah.
But these big corporations are creating their advertising campaigns by tapping into the sort of like political and social agendas of the country.
Yeah.
And it's sort of,
because those people have money. Everybody has money. You just like – pick the pie of money that you want to make if you know.
Well, okay. Maybe the Gillette ad is uplifting, but I'm not going to say it's going to be improving the way we talk.
It's definitely not going to be improving the way that I talk. In fact, after watching the Gillette ad, I went out and I berated several people in the street and in bakeries and lots of places, man. I'm a mean guy.
My second improvement is that I think that we should be using the word jam more often.
You mean like blues traveler, like jam band jam?
Yeah, I think it's like – it's something that I've added to my lexicon and sort of creatively. So if I meet this dude or whatever and I'm like, hey, we've got some great ideas. Let's find a whiteboard and let's jam. And I like – structuring it that way because it's kind of like somebody who's bringing their instrument, which is their whatever, and just kind of jamming. And I think it's a nice connotation. And I think, you know, I endorse its use. I think it's sort of like a creative hangout that's meant to like evoke a chemistry.
To see if it
kind of works, you know.
No, I can totally see it. You're also definitely putting yourself in like 1993 when you say that, though. Like jam is definitely night, you know, that's, and I mean, you know, age wise,
do you think that is like, because my brain was formed in college, mm-hmm. is that, that's the reason?
I think I'm not saying that's the entire reason, but that's the,
so you're saying jam is kind of like the tight, my tight complaint. So I should negate jam because it's actually kind of tight.
No, you shouldn't. I like that you like jam. But what I think is interesting is that like it's part, sort of where my brain is too, is that like a lot of it got formed, you know, like in the early 90s when there was, you know, a lot of jorts.
Stupid.
Yeah. A lot of jorts, a lot of big just t-shirts, you know, but not the fashion sense, because I feel like by the end of the 90s, they had sold sort of men on like men magazines. Remember how like GQ and Maxim and shit like that, like those all just came out then. And and now like it's totally in there. People are looking for their, you know, how to be a man from these mags. And before it was just like Playboy. Like that was where all the dangerous shit came out of. That's where Steve Martin and printed chapters of his plays that he was writing, like Picasso and Lupino Gil came out in like episodes of Playboy. Yeah. But, you know, Maxim and those other ones, and like they, you know, it's just, it's funny. That's the end of the 90s. And now, I don't know. I'm not even sure.
BuzzFeed.
Yeah, it's BuzzFeed. It's BuzzFeed. It's IGN. It's.
Well, what is your last positive? There's got to be something positive to make us talk better, communicate better.
I had this over the holidays. I was doing scroll, big grocery shop, like right before the holidays, because you know, you got to make like a bunch of different, like pretty extravagant meals usually around there. And I was with my youngest, and he had dropped something on the ground, and we were in line to go to the cashier, and an old lady cut in front of me. Yeah. And I didn't tell her to like get the hell out of line or anything like that. I'm not, I wouldn't do that anyway, but I just like, I also didn't let her go without like letting her know. Like, I was just like, hey, it's totally cool. But like, cause there was a bunch of people behind me, and I was like, you can go because, you know, clearly you need to, but like, there's a line here. And like, right. For me, I normally just like, I don't know, I just probably would have sucked it up, but, you know, just like sort of put it forward a little bit that like, this isn't exactly cool. Like, I don't know. Like I'm, you know, when you're with like a 17-month-old at a grocery store, you're basically negotiating a time bomb, right? You're just like, I'm gonna have to cut the red wire at one point or the green wire. I'm not sure which one it is. And those wires are just like, if is it a granola bar or is it a squeezy pack that's going to like get him through this? Or do I need to hold him? Those are the options that you're juggling.
Your pressure is that you've got this kid that's nagging at you, and so you're okay throwing an elbow or two to make sure your place is secured.
But I don't know. It's just like during the holidays, maybe that's it. Like when the holidays come up, I think we should probably all try to make a concerted effort to be nicer to each other, because like the stresses of the holidays are pretty big for
pretty some. Fucked
yeah,
up.
Pretty fucked
I think
up.
We should just try to be nicer to each other in general.
I do like, too, but if you can just start at December and it clears into January, by then, right. You know, maybe you're at February.
You should be all set.
Could be.
Yeah. All right. Well, my last of the evening is that I think people should do funny accents.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, I think just randomly you should just be like, no, I do not think I will do that. It's just like, I think that would just allow an absurdity in day-to-day life that matches the reality of the absurdity of day-to-day life.
Yeah. You know? I mean, the next time you're like in Safeway or something like that, and you need them to open the liquor cabinet or something, or, you know, stop by the cheese place and just in just a Maurice Chevalier kind of a, well, I don't know, but I think I would like to try this Colby Jacques that you guys, right. What was this Munster cheese? And yeah, I mean, I used to do that a lot more in my 20s because I used to go to the grocery store even more high. Yeah, than
I'm sure you.
Yeah, you know, I used to be like crazy baked in there, but yeah.
Yeah, that I actually have been doing what little mini adventures to Starbucks, because usually when I say go to Starbucks, I go, hey, my name's Nye. They're like, I'm sorry. What? But it's right. Always a big rig on my road. So I've come in and I've started saying I'm Bill or Joe or Frank or something that's easy to remember. And for like small windows of my day, I get to be someone else. And someone calls
I have been, I'm exactly in your shoes. I have been a big proponent of like, wherever it is that they need a name, just give them whatever. And it has to be off the top of your head. And you have to be able to say it with a straight face. Like, there's this place that me and my son and a buddy of mine meet for burgers, you know, a couple times a year. And it's the place where they call out your name and we give them a different name every time. And it's mostly just to watch Luke go nuts because he laughs so much. And it's nothing stupid. It's not like a terrible, you know, like long, obvious thing. You have to sneak the sort of the word in, you know?
Yeah. The joke in there, get it underneath the right. It's like, you know, Bart calling Moe's tavern.
Yeah. So we do that. Yeah.
I think that's our roundup, dude. I think we've got, just to sort of give sort of a quick recap. I said, stop saying epiphanies. And then you said, what was the first thing that you said?
Shit. I can never remember.
And then I hated tight.
Oh, on fleek. It was on fleek, I think.
Oh, on fleek. Yeah. Right. And then I hated tight and you hated authentic.
Yes.
And then we also bitched about LOL and ROTFL.
Yes.
And then I was into the bro hug. You said to lean into it and take up. And then I said the jam, but you called me out for that being too 90s.
That's true.
Some funny accent. And then you threw some elbows at some ladies at the supermarket.
I threw some elbows at the old ladies at the grocery store. Yeah.
Well, I would think that anyone who's listening to this is probably more efficient and better speaker than they were before.
You guys, congratulations. You've reached the end of the audio segment of the learning how to speak more better. Or is it more gooder? It's one of those.
Tune in next time.
Yeah.
So, we're going to have one more segment when we come back. You're going to listen to some Jen, and we'll be right back.
Here we go. We're coming back.
You've run and you've been cold and outside and
it was the best.
Yeah. How's the sobriety going?
I've remained sober.
Fuck you, man.
16 days.
That's
amazing. It's been nuts. It's been nuts.
That's crazy. I have not been so diligent. It's been really hard.
But you got employed. You got a job. I mean, like, this is like the curse has been lifted. You're gigged.
I don't think the curse has been lifted. This is a job. I have contracts on the table that I'm building. This is the first time I'm like hiring a team and building a thing out and doing. It's crazy. It's so stressful. It is so hard.
Sure.
Anyways, welcome back to our final segment. If anyone is listening, this is the last part of the show. I think that's amazing, D, that you have
probably the sexiest part of the show. This is where it gets good. If you haven't liked any part of the show before this is where.
But I want to call. We never really mentioned the first bit we do, the opening bit, and like. This all stemmed out of the idea that we didn't want to do a, you know, Darren and I is a podcast, blah, 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 right? We wanted to just kind of open cold.
Yeah.
And so it's been interesting. Like this week's particularly, you were thinking about that for 2 weeks, I think, right? Like you kind of said.
I've got another one that I still haven't quite figured.
Right, but is that how it works for you? You think about a Gandalf voice, and then something sticks in your craw, and you're just kind of like, I think I got something, and you just kind of experiment with it. Right?
It used to be a lot easier when I was like younger. Like I think the younger brain just like makes up more of this stuff, and I feel like I had a lot more of this. But yeah, that's what it takes an old brain like mine to come up with like one thing that's, you know, and we're just doing audio for it, you know, like it,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I thought this week's was pretty good. If anyone wants to listen to it again, rewind to the beginning. It's at the beginning of this episode.
And then come right back to this because this is where it's at.
This is it's going to get good now. And now.
So it's still good. Yeah.
I felt like though that I pitched it, we're still thinking about what our name is, or maybe never. Maybe we're just going to stay Darren and I, but I said, hey, what if we called ourselves the opening bit? But you're right. It puts too much pressure on the opening bit.
Yeah. And then people are just like, yeah, I only listen to the opening bit.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right. Yeah. So fuck it. I guess we're just going to have to stay Darren and I until we can think of anything better.
Folks, if anybody who's listening has like an idea of what to call this mess.
This hot mess.
This. Yeah.
Maybe we should stop saying hot
mess.
Hot, maybe we should stop saying
hot mess in 2019 or tight mess.
Authentic.
An authentic tight hot mess.
I don't think we can do any better than that. We got to end
on
that.
It might actually be the name of the show.
Authentic tight hot mess. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Please follow us on all the networks. You can find us at Darren and I. Join our Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram, and this and that. And please review us on iTunes. We will be back next week, hopefully, if Zencaster doesn't eat this show either.
Yeah, so. Zencaster. I hope you got that wasn't part of the deal, Zencaster. You weren't supposed to eat our episode. Yeah, you should be full. Should be full from the one episode. So this is gonna work great.